The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Derek Frost from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from the Triangle Business Journal. And we start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the headline for the cover story, The 2017 Business Person of the Year, Jim Triandaflu of Relias. His vision to cultivate a niche in the healthcare space is paying dividends for the company and our community. That's the headline on the front page. The actual article begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with the second headline. Defined by growth, Triandaflu has Relias on the fast track and is just getting started. This article is written by Jennifer Henderson. When the 52-year-old Jim Triandaflu joined Relias Learning as CEO back in 2012, the online training company employed a mere 15 people in Cary and a little more than 100 company-wide. Today, that headcount looks much different, and so does its sales volume. The company, which recently shortened its name to Relias in a growth-prompted rebranding, now employs 450 people in Cary and about 670 company-wide. As for sales, Triandaflu's LinkedIn profile notes that revenue has risen from $20 million when he became CEO in 2012 to more than $200 million. Relias doesn't plan on stopping there. In July of last year, Relias announced a massive expansion plan, one that positions the company to add 450 new jobs in the Triangle by 2020 and receive up to $5.3 million in incentives for doing so through the state's Job Development Investment Grant, JDIG, program. The company is on track to achieve that goal and outgrow its current home at 111 Corning Road in Cary. So earlier this year, Relias pegged Perimeter Park for a sparkling new glass-encased headquarters, one that has the capacity to house 700 employees. The company plans to occupy the space by early 2019. Over the last year, Relias, focused on the healthcare industry, has moved into two additional areas of business, analytics and assessments, and the company has announced 7 acquisitions in the past 2 years to aid in achieving that feat. It has also expanded into a number of new international markets and completed its first European acquisition, Germany's SPM. Triandaflu's drive has guided this trajectory, earning him the honor of being Triangle Business Journal's 2017 Business Person of the Year. With growth, however, comes a new set of challenges. One of our core values is a thirst for learning. We can always do things better, he says. We learn from every acquisition, every customer, even if we did great. We are learning. We are a learning company, so we should always be trying to learn. Hopefully, that staves off any arrogance. Growing big through acquisitions. Over the course of 2017, Relias announced one acquisition after another at a pace that would rival the most acquisitive of companies. The acquisitions pieced together a new Relias, one that is now two-thirds larger in terms of types of product offerings. The company's latest spree started in October of last year when Relias announced acquisitions of St. Louis-based Swank Healthcare and Atlanta-based AHC Media. The buyouts moved the company into the acute care market. At the time it acquired AHC and Swank, Relias was not in a single hospital. Now the company is in more than 1,000 out of 5,700 hospitals in the United States. Those moves were closely followed by Relias' announcement of its acquisition of SPM, and the following month, Relias announced its first acquisition in analytics, purchasing Morrisville's Care Management Technologies, CMT, and also added Boston-based Advanced Practice Strategies aimed at expansion into pre-hire assessments. That announcement followed another one a couple of months later when the company picked up White Cloud Analytics of Boise, Idaho. Carol Clayton, who served as president of CMT at the time of its acquisition, says the process leading up to the sale involved a number of honest conversations between the two parties. With Triandaflu across the table, those conversations included the question, can we be more than the sum of our parts by coming together? All of CMT's 32 employees joined Relias following the acquisition. Clayton is now chief of translational neurosciences, and only 2 have left since the merger, Clayton says, calling the statistic a testament to the culture and integration process at Relias. We have a team of people that does nothing but look at acquiring companies, and we have a team of people that does nothing but work on integration of companies once we buy them, Tran DeFlew says. Every employee goes through an 8-day culture-focused company boot camp upon arrival. Tran DeFlew, Clayton notes, is calm and confident in his leadership. He's never caught running around the office yelling and throwing things. He knows what he has, she says. He has a culture that he has built here. Tran DeFlew says Relias wants to keep that culture as much of the same as possible as it grows. Over the last 5 years, our compound annual growth rate organically is 20%, he says. With acquisitions, that growth rate is sometimes 50%, he adds. We always want to make sure we are growing on our own without acquisitions, Tran DeFlew says, but then acquisitions can accelerate entry into a new product area, into a new part of healthcare, so we will absolutely continue to do acquisitions. Some years, Relias' headcount growth is all organic, while other years, the company's headcount growth may be 25% from acquisitions, according to Tran DeFlew, and what's next could be unprecedented in the company's history. We have done acquisitions that have had dozens of people, and we're now looking at much bigger acquisitions, hundreds of people, he says. I think we'll do more of a blockbuster acquisition, a transformational acquisition over the next couple of years, where we could add hundreds of people and tens, if not hundreds of millions in revenue that would really bring us a whole new level of growth. Focused beyond learning. Relias' recently shortened name isn't just meant to roll off the tongue any faster than before, but is reflective of the freedom from being known for one area of expertise. We are now focused beyond learning, and we want our name to reflect that, Tran DeFlew says. For the current year, Relias expects more than 80% of its revenue to come from its cornerstone learning, or online training, segment. But moving forward, the company anticipates that analytics will be its fastest-growing area. One of the biggest challenges in healthcare systems today is that there is so much variability in treatment, Tran DeFlew says. That's where we can help with analytics, consistency of care, which leads to more predictable outcomes. Areas of analytics work range from the opioid epidemic, how often doctors are prescribing medication, to work related to the number of C-sections performed, how often major surgery is used to deliver babies, he says. Perhaps even more worthy of fanfare, Tran DeFlew says, is a big product launch in June 2018. At that point, he says, the learning, analytics, and assessment products will be fully integrated under a single Relias platform. From Long Island to Cary. While Tran DeFlew is originally from Long Island, New York, his father taught elementary school there. He came to Cary ultimately via Boston. His office bears the remnants of that move with a giant Boston Red Sox poster that spans nearly the entire length of one of its four walls. Tran DeFlew received his Master's of Business Administration from Arizona State University in 1992 and spent the early years of his career in a leadership position at the Alexander Group, a Scottsdale-based management consulting firm. Tran DeFlew then co-founded Occam Technologies out of Atlanta in 1999. In 2002, the company, started during the internet boom, was sold to a company out of Boston. While Tran DeFlew says he thought he'd stay for a year, he ended up staying in Boston for 7 and served as chief operating officer at the resulting company, Centiv. About halfway through his tenure, a new investor came in before Centiv was sold in 2009. That same year, Tran DeFlew, who was married at the time with 4 young children, also decided to move from Boston to Cary. The decision was based on quality of life for raising a family, but it called for Tran DeFlew to commute back and forth between Cary and his work in Boston, Monday through Thursday. He'd be up north and then back with his family on the weekends. The same investor who had come in midway through his time at Centiv made Tran DeFlew chief operating officer at another company in the investment portfolio, Service CEO, in order to get it cleaned up and sold as well. The company was sold at the end of 2010, and the investor headed to private equity firm Vista Equity Partners. Tran DeFlew recalls about a year later that investor called and said, "I think you'd really like the Vista approach." Ultimately, Vista bought Silverchair Learning Systems and Essential Learning in early 2012 and hired Triandaflu as CEO to run the merged companies, which became Relias. The move planted Triandaflu in Cary 7 days per week, that is, aside from his busy schedule of international travel. In late 2014, German media firm Bertelsmann announced plans to acquire Relias from Vista. The purchase price was reported $540 million. "We like to have the majority of our people here," Triandaflu says. "We have a really strong culture, and the best way to experience that culture is to be in the middle of it." From Triandaflu's prior move from Boston to Cary, he understands firsthand the ability to recruit talent both from outside and inside the Triangle region. He says Relias finds energetic, passionate candidates from the local universities, including engineers out of NC State University, and it's also very easy to pitch relocation to the Triangle from other areas across the U.S. because of the great quality of life. By the colors. Relias' culture is founded on a book and colors, and Triandaflu says the company has latched on tight to those building blocks. The book that has made its mark on Relias' culture is The Advantage by Patrick Lencioni. And a significant principle in that book, Triandaflu says, is the ability to trust by being vulnerable, being able to say to other executive team members, "I don't know what to do, I need help," or "I messed up." The book also emphasizes healthy organizations as ones free of politics, ones in which everyone is pulling in the same direction for the same purpose. "What we're doing is helping the most vulnerable members of society," Triandaflu says. In Relias' employee boot camp, every employee receives a membership card that includes the company's mission. "As a result, we all know what we're trying to accomplish," Triandaflu says. Aside from The Advantage, Relias also uses a color-based personality profile called Insights to create a culture that's as practical as it is unique. "We talk about it every single day," Triandaflu says. At the boot camp, an employee is given a profile in which their personality traits are ranked by four colors. Red, making decisions, moving fast, pushing forward. Yellow, being inspirational, motivational. Green, including everyone. Blue, getting into details and analysis. Those profiles, ranked in order of highest to lowest scoring colors, are displayed at every employee workstation. Accordingly, employees know how to best approach each other for getting tasks done. For example, someone whose top color is yellow might appreciate an inspirational comment more than someone whose first color is red. Triandaflu's own color profile leads with blue. "I like meetings where we're in the meeting to make a decision and move forward. I also like details. I can look at a spreadsheet. I like the analytics," he says. "My lowest energy is my yellow," Triandaflu says. "When we have a company meeting, I always joke that I can do the company meetings. They're not my favorite thing to do, and when they're over, I need to take a nap. But some people guess that's my highest color." Another example, he notes, would be saying, "Guys, we have to dial up the green in this meeting. People are feeling excluded," or, "I'm in deep blue mode when it comes to a potential acquisition opportunity. And on a certain day, we're going red in order to make a decision on that opportunity." Triandaflu also strives to build the culture by bringing international employees together during his travel. "So things that take me other places are mostly customers and prospects," he adds, "but it's then just seeing our team, and there's always food involved." Recently in Beijing, Triandaflu and the company's 10-person team in China all sat down for a super fun dinner, giving back to the community. Additionally, Relias' culture is one that extends from the company's mission and reflects in its commitment to philanthropic efforts. In fact, Triandaflu, along with a number of his employees, are willing to go over the edge, that is, at least when it comes to one of the company's main volunteer partnerships with Special Olympics in North Carolina. One of the flagship fundraising programs of the organization involves individuals raising money to be sponsored in their rappel down the Wells Fargo Capital Center in downtown Raleigh. Triandaflu, recently elected chair of the board of Special Olympics North Carolina, has been involved with the organization since 2012. "We've been real grateful that they've shown that interest and affinity to us," says Keith Fishburne, president and CEO of Special Olympics NC. Along with hundreds of Relias employees over the years, Fishburne says Triandaflu also brings his kids out to volunteer, particularly for our state-level summer games that we have here in June. Jim always asks questions that are real common-sense questions. He doesn't try to overcomplicate things in the kind of leader he is, Fishburne says. Those include, what is the challenge, and what is the resolution to the challenge, and I just always appreciate the approach that he brings. He's someone I can rely on. Growing pains, making gains. Sustaining that growth with Relias' new size has been a challenge. We are just a lot bigger, Triandaflu says bluntly. So the challenge is, how do we continue to scale and not have the wheels fall off? He says the company needs to make sure we're operating as efficiently as we can. With more and more employees, particularly onboarding large groups through acquisitions, integration remains a critical focus. Triandaflu notes that Relias is a company to transition from one core product, which was online training that we had for 15 years, to now additional products. He adds, as you bring in more acquisitions, getting everyone aligned around a common vision gets harder and harder. For us, we have 6,000 really, really happy clients, Triandaflu says. So now the company is looking at other areas, analytics and assessments, where it can serve those customers, he says. Relias will need to sell a portfolio of products as it grows. Historically, most of our business came from getting new clients, Triandaflu says. Going forward, more and more of our business will come from selling more to our existing clients. Cross-selling and enterprise sales competencies will be key. More and more we're doing enterprise sales, where for years our average sale was $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, he says. Now we're doing multi-million dollar sales. That's a different skill set. And while the company will be focused 100% on healthcare going forward, it will be expanding into even more types of product offerings beyond its current trio, Triandaflu says. That will include extending product offerings to the patient as Relias looks to continue to expand. We are a growth company, he says. That is the core of who we are. And now we'll turn to the viewpoint page for the editor's notebook, written by Sugata Mukherjee, editor of the Triangle Business Journal. The headline, How We Picked Our 2017 Business Person of the Year. Every week, our reporters and editors work with scores of local executives on stories, blogs, pictures, and Triangle Business Journal signature events. So at the end of the year, picking one individual for our Business Person of the Year award is not only an arduous task, it sometimes may seem somewhat unfair to others. We approach this selection very seriously, knowing the Triangle's business community expects us to do our homework in picking the winner. Just as in the past 14 years since we started the Business Person of the Year honor, we began with a list that included about 25 names. It took us roughly 90 minutes to narrow it down to about 4 names. Reporters and editors discussed the merits of every individual and their contributions to the community at large. Then the list was pared down pretty fast for the next go-round. Among the standout list of 4, we were left with several questions on each candidate that needed additional clarification. In the second meeting, the list of 4 was cut to 2 names. By this time, we were getting excited. Newsroom staffers were becoming more vocal about certain candidates, and discussions often led to clarity as names started to emerge as the top contenders for the shortened list. Reporters were then assigned specific candidates and were asked to make a comprehensive pitch to the selection group in the third and final meeting, keeping in mind the person and their company's 2017 accomplishments, the community impact, local and national if applicable, and the fiscal status of the companies they run or own. Our final meeting was the most efficient as we went around the table listening to the amazing accomplishments of these 2 individuals and were left with the impression that the Triangle is fortunate to have so many capable leaders. Then came the voting. It wasn't unanimous at first. We discussed the candidates again, and this time we focused on the candidates' likely impact on our communities in the coming years. Finally, Relias CEO Jim Triandaflu emerged as our 2017 Business Person of the Year. We relayed the news to him a few days later. Just a few days ago, TBJ publisher Jason Christie and I sat down with him and his family for dinner in downtown Raleigh. Choosing Triandaflu is interesting in many ways, given the company's insatiable appetite to buy companies. His directions are clear from the media firm that owns Relias. Grow big and grow fast. That's great news for the local community, as we will see a sharp curve in terms of company sales, profitability, and employee base. The challenge for Triandaflu is to integrate Relias's culture with all the new companies under its umbrella without severe operational disruption. After all, Relias makes money by being efficient. We can't wait to see how Relias charts its future course to become a corporate powerhouse in its space. And now we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle Happenings, written by Managing Editor Dane Huffman. So long, Trips. Now it's time to go fly fishing. Biz had some good times at Trips Restaurant at Ridgewood Shopping Center, as did many in Raleigh, so watching that restaurant sit empty was bittersweet. But now, Andrew Teckett, president and CEO of CCH Properties, says he has signed a deal for a new tenant. Trips opened there in 1982 and was one of Raleigh's better options to eat and hang out before the restaurant scene here exploded. Now Raleigh has great food options, Teckett says. The ones that didn't change from yesteryear couldn't find a place in the market anymore. Trips, owned by Greensboro's Battleground Restaurants, closed suddenly on September 12, 2016, and the 6,000-square-foot space has been vacant since. Teckett says he recently signed a 10-year deal with Orvis and expects the outdoor company to move in by June. Their demographic is our demographic, he says. TechNet also plans changes to the shopping center that will allow for more restaurants. Once Orvis is settled, he plans to put a 20,000-square-foot building where the gas station once was that will be half retail and half office space. The Bobs are here, but the headquarters are not coming. Paragon Bank's holiday party this year had an interesting twist. Greeting the invited guests were two CEOs, Paragon CEO Bob Hatley and Town Bank CEO Robert Aston Jr. Town Bank expects to close the acquisition of Paragon early next year. The Bob and Bob show went smoothly as Hatley introduced Aston to some of the bank's biggest clients at a party with oysters, shrimp, and more. Biz met Aston and his management team, and for Biz, it was a perfect opportunity to act as the local Chamber of Commerce representative by asking Aston an important question. Why don't you move your corporate headquarters to Raleigh, Bob? Without flinching, Aston laughed and said, "We will be willing to move Town Bank's headquarters to Raleigh if you deliver $10 billion in assets from the local market." Guess that answered that. Paragon's total assets are about $1.5 billion and Town Bank's more than $8 billion. In the end, everyone from both banks looked happy. The message was the cultures are similar and integration should be seamless. As for Biz, better stick to writing rather than trying to act as an economic developer. Driving in Greensboro must be a breeze, right? Apparently, drivers are happy in Greensboro and downright grumpy in Charlotte. At least that's the view from the Waze app, which tracks traffic and gives drivers options for routes. Greensboro ranked number one on Waze's annual Driver Satisfaction Index, which crunched data from Waze to make the rankings. Charlotte was eighth worst. Worst overall, Honolulu. Nothing against Greensboro, but here at Biz, we'll take our chances with Honolulu traffic. Making it easy to get beer and wine delivered. On-demand app Postmates has launched a new beer and wine delivery service in the Triangle, dubbed Drinks. The service allows customers to order their favorite beers and wines from local retailers, such as Bottle Rev, and to have them delivered in 25 minutes or less. Serena Virk-Torrendell, general manager of new categories at Postmates, calls the Triangle rollout a natural extension of its ongoing service expansion. After piloting the service in Atlanta and San Francisco, the company began offering it in other cities. It grew very quickly, and we saw a lot of traction from it, so we quickly started rolling out in more and more markets, she says. The Triangle fell into our overall market plan, especially after we launched in Charlotte. The San Francisco team did a lot of research to figure out which local retailers to partner with, she says, noting that the presence of a Postmates team member in the Triangle helped narrow down the choices. Getting a fresh start in downtown Raleigh. Advertising agency Media 2 is moving its headquarters a half mile down the street and spending $2 million to do it. Chief Executive Michael Hubbard has confirmed the company purchased the property at 112 South Blunt Street to expand and establish permanent roots in downtown Raleigh. Renovations should begin in January, and Hubbard, who founded the company in 1998, expects to move from the current location on East Hargett Street by late spring. The new digs will provide more conference rooms and more space in general. Hubbard says the goal is to make the building more creative, less officey. This Bailey box includes a check for $50,000. A few weeks ago, Biz reported on designer David Uriman visiting Bailey's Fine Jewelry on October 21 to meet the staff and shoppers at the Cameron Village store. About 300 people attended that event, which helped raise funds for art education at the North Carolina Museum of Art. The event was a big success. The day raised $25,000 for the museum, and Bailey's matched that and recently gave a $50,000 check to the museum. Donations like this make it possible for the NCMA to serve more people through more educational programs, and we are so appreciative of this gift from Bailey's, said Larry Wheeler, the museum director. And now we turn to the On Technology and Transportation page written by Lauren Onasorge. The main headline, Wanted, Crowdfunding Entrepreneurs in North Carolina. More than 9 months after North Carolina's crowdfunding bill, the NC PACES Act, became law, there's still no takers. NC Secretary of State Elaine Marshall says she can't pinpoint what's holding small business owners back. I don't know if it's like jumping in the swimming pool. When somebody does, then everybody else jumps in, she says, but we're ready. The rules, which went into effect April 1, allow anyone, not just high net worth individuals meeting the federal definition of an accredited investor, to make equity investments in North Carolina companies. Firms can fundraise via a local public offering, LPO, or an NC PACES offering, NCPO, through the new rules. LPOs allow for rounds up to $250,000 and are the simplest way to crowdfund the cash, Marshall notes. They can advertise freely any which way, she explains, and LPOs don't have to use a website to post information about their offerings. While LPOs are limited to simple types of securities such as bonds, where investors lend a company money, and equity, where backers can share in profits, NCPOs can offer more complicated types of securities. With NCPO, companies can raise up to $1 million. Companies with audited financials in operation for a year or more can raise up to $2 million with an NCPO. Fundraising entrepreneurs pursuing NCPOs, however, can't advertise the offering. NCPOs are more complicated, involving putting money in an escrow account, not to be used until the firm raises a certain threshold, and they must have a platform, a website, where information is provided about the company. The platform also has to have some type of communication channel so people can reach the company with questions. Entrepreneurs must also post official documents on the site, as well as information showing the offering's progress toward its fundraising goal. Other complications exist, but it's the platform that's really limiting the application, says Mark Easley, angel investor and crowdfunding advocate. Basically, what's missing is the infrastructure piece to make it easy, he says. Filling out the form, that's just one small piece of the puzzle. You have to build your campaign, and you need a good platform to do all that on. That's the holdup. Easley says that in the meantime, an LPO is a much easier option for a small company wanting to raise a small amount, as they can potentially do that all on their own. You can build it on your own website, and you can promote it on your own email list. You can even run advertisements about it, he says. Marshall says there has been a flurry of activity since the rules were adopted. Lawyers and entrepreneurs are regularly calling her office to inquire about the how to get started. But despite her best efforts, her office has received zero actual applications. When a company signs on, however, they can expect a blitz of attention. She says she'll make a personal appearance, whatever the venture that signs on first, be it a startup, a food truck, a brewery. I'll come have a beer, she says. And along with this article, there's also a special section called NC Crowdfunding. April 4, 2012. The Jumpstart Our Business Startups Act, or JOBS Act, was signed into law by then-President Barack Obama. September 23, 2013, Title II of the JOBS Act goes into effect, allowing small businesses to publicly raise funds in equity rounds, but only through accredited investors. To be accredited, investors have to have a net worth of at least $1 million or have made more than $200,000 a year for the past 3 years. May 16, 2016, federal rules for crowdfunding go into effect. The rules adopted under Title III of the Jobs Act allow companies to raise up to $1 million in crowdfunding offerings over a 12-month period. July 22, 2016, the bill is signed at WebAssign's office at Centennial Campus in Raleigh by then-Governor Pat McCrory. March 31, 2017, the North Carolina bill is officially adopted to go into effect April 1. Now, all North Carolina needs is a taker. Spirit AeroSystems exec, why $55.7 million in investment in North Carolina is big news. Terry George, vice president and general manager of Spirit AeroSystems North Carolina operation, says a recent announcement to invest $55.7 million for an expansion in Kinston helps the Kansas company fulfill its ongoing commitment to Airbus. Kinston is where Spirit manufactures wingtips and massive fuselage parts for the Airbus 350. In October, John Bielman, Spirit's Kinston-based director of operations, said the team was pumping out 9.3 airplanes per month. George says the plan is to increase that production rate further with the new investment. "We're just conditioning ourselves at the right point in time in the future to be ready for that additional increase," he says. Right now, the plant, with 600 full-time employees, is solely focused on fulfilling that Airbus 350 contract. "We're building an aviation community in Kinston," he says. "We do have quite a bit of land there for additional expansion. There's nothing standing in the way of continuing to grow Kinston. It really just comes down to having the business case and the work associated with whatever the project is." Economic developers say the latest announcement is bigger than one company. "It sends a clear message to the trajectory of the competitiveness of the global transpark in terms of what we bring, not just currently, but going forward in aerospace," Global Transpark Executive Director Alan Thomas says. And finally, by the numbers, where people want to fly at RDU. It's beginning to look a lot like holiday travel season at Raleigh-Durham International Airport, and as RDU is the most connected medium-sized airport in the nation, that means passengers heading to locations throughout the globe. Airport officials say they are seeking even more nonstop flights to get passengers closer to their final destinations. These are RDU's top 10 domestic markets, ranked in terms of passengers per day each way for areas not served by direct flights. San Diego, 143.8. San Juan, Puerto Rico, 86. Portland, Oregon, 85.5. San Jose, California, 82.4. San Antonio, 81.7. Sacramento, California, 63.3. Buffalo, New York, 60.8. Milwaukee, 59.1. Orange County, California, 56.4. And Memphis, Tennessee, 56. And now we turn to On Healthcare, written by Jennifer Henderson. WPU charts Raleigh expansion plans. William Peace University is planning a significant expansion of its downtown Raleigh campus as part of its master plan. The expansion calls for a new residence hall and academic buildings, as well as a new athletics facility to be built on the university's existing 19 acres. "We have just completed a university strategic plan setting the direction for the university over the next 5 to 10 years, says Kristen Cohen, vice president for enrollment management and marketing at William Peace University. "We know that as the university grows, the campus as it exists right now won't be able to do everything that we want it to do." The university started work on the plan in the summer of 2016, and the board approved it in October. "We hope to complete this campus master plan by 2040, Cohen says, adding that the initial phases of expansion are expected to begin much sooner. "A priority is a new residence hall, as the university hopes to move some of its undergraduate students that are off campus back on campus in the near future," Cohen says. "We do expect to get started on this plan in the next year," she says. Over the next 5 years, the university is expecting its on-campus enrollment to rise from about 1,000 students to about 1,500 students, according to Cohen. While the university has not disclosed specifics on the amount of funding that it will need for the entire planned expansion, Cohen says that the university will look at a wide range of funding options, including debt, partnerships, and fundraising efforts. The university does not plan to purchase any new land for the expansion. Abby says Argos has funding through mid-2018. With funding in place to take the company through mid-2018, Durham-based Argos Therapeutics has its sights set on the next data readout for its ongoing clinical trial of its lead product and candidate, Racapildensel T, for the treatment of metastatic kidney cancer. "We will be able to get to the next data readout in the first half of next year," says Jeff Abbey, president and CEO. "We hope that the data readout is indicative of the positive survival benefit that we have seen in some patients. We're optimistic that the data will show a positive impact on a long-term survival," he says, adding that the company also hopes that the readout will provide a strong rationale to continue on with the trial, and data that the company could eventually take to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for review. At the end of last month, Argos disclosed that the landlord for one of its sites on TW Alexander Drive had completed a sale of the facility to Cambridge, Massachusetts-based gene therapy company Bluebird Bio, resulting in a lease termination agreement that saw Argos receive about $1.8 million. According to Durham County deed records, Bluebird purchased the property for about $11.4 million. Argos also disclosed it had raised about $6.8 million through an at-the-market stock issuance, and that it had restructured a $4 million deferred payment obligation with one of its vendors by issuing a $2.4 million unsecured convertible note. "That money gets us through the middle of next year," Abby says. "So, of course, we would like to bring in additional funds to have more cash runway further out than the middle of next year." He notes that the company is currently pursuing a couple of different things to secure more funding. Fennec upbeat about drug for pediatric cancer patients. With a new drug application filing just within reach, Research Triangle Park-based Fennec Pharmaceuticals' $20 million public offering aims to prepare the company for a commercial launch in 2019. Fennec, which is developing a product called PEDMARK for the prevention of hearing loss in pediatric cancer patients receiving chemotherapy, announced December 8 the pricing of its public offering of about 2.3 million common shares at a price of $8.50 per share. The funds will be used for the commercial launch of PEDMARK that we anticipate in 2019, Chief Financial Officer Robert Andrade says, adding that specifically that will include bringing on additional infrastructure in the U.S. and Europe. The proceeds will also aid Fennec as it evaluates potential partnership opportunities for PEDMARK in the U.S. and Europe, he says. As of September 30, Fennec had about $9.7 million in cash, including $7.6 million it raised back in June. The money it raised aims to support the company through its NDA filing, expected in the middle of 2018. "We had some very good participation by new institutional investors that speaks to the quality of the company and the future of PEDMARK. There was also participation by a number of existing investors," Andrade says, of the recent raise. Recently, Fennec announced Phase 3 results for PEDMARK, saying the results showed significant improvement in the prevention of hearing loss for children in chemotherapy. Clinipace adds CFO with Triangle Ties. On the heels of appointing Jason Monteleone as successor to its co-founder, former president and longtime CEO Jeff Williams, Morrisville-based contract research organization Clinipace has made another C-suite hire. Karen Turner became the company's chief financial officer December 4. Turner joins Clinipace from Charlotte-based communications provider Fairpoint Communications, where she most recently held the CFO title as well. Prior to joining Fairpoint in 2014, Turner spent 7 years in the Triangle at Inc. Research, now Inc. Research Inventive Health. Turner says she is excited to get back into the CRO industry. "There's just a lot of opportunity as well as competition in the CRO space," she says, adding that there is ample opportunity for the mid-tier CROs, such as Clinipace, moving forward. "We believe that we have a lot of opportunity to grow some of the therapeutic areas, but also to focus on the regulatory consulting business." Clinipace currently employs about 800 people globally, with about 70 based in the Triangle. And finally, in a section called He Said It, the quote, I'm very eager to expand this nationwide as quickly as financially possible. And that's from Brian Van Hook, co-founder and CEO of Raleigh-based Home Care Assist, which aims to fill the gap between hiring in-home caregivers through agencies and selecting or serving as caregivers oneself, on expanding beyond North Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. Now, the On Real Estate page, written by Ben Graham, starts with the headline, Companies Start Inking Deals with the Dylan. The developers behind a new tower in downtown Raleigh have locked up their first office space tenants, including a co-working office provider called Spaces. The company will occupy 35,000 square feet in the Dylan, an 18-story mixed-use building currently under construction in the Warehouse District. Really, it's spectacular, says Mike Smith, president and chief operating officer of Kane Realty Corporation, the project's developer. It's the way everybody is beginning to work. Spaces has dozens of locations across the globe. The new Raleigh location will have 269 dedicated desks and 3 meeting rooms, according to an advertisement on the company's website. Joining Spaces in the new building will be Stewart Engineering, an FMI corporation, a management consulting and investment banking firm. All told, the 3 companies will take up 82,200 square feet in the Dylan, or 37% of the total 220,000 square feet of Class A office space. Terms of the leases were not disclosed. Similar new Class A office space in downtown Raleigh is renting for a base rate of $33 per square foot, according to Triangle Business Journal's Space Quarterly publication. Across downtown, the vacancy rate for Class A office was 6.9% in the third quarter of 2017. Retail and restaurant space at the Dylan is also filling up. Leases have already been inked with Urban Outfitters, Organic Grocer, Weaver Street Market, Brewery, Heirloom Brew Shop, and the Barcelona Wine Bar. Just 12,000 square feet of the total 52,000 square feet of retail and restaurant room remains open. Construction on the Dylan is expected to wrap up in early 2018. When complete, the development will take up an entire 2.5-acre city block and also have 270 apartments. Kane Realty is developing the project in a joint venture with Federal Capital Partners. The building is located within West Martin, Harrington, and Hargett Streets. Spaces will be the latest co-working provider in Raleigh. The city's downtown has attracted several in recent years, including WeWork's new offices at the 10-story One Glenwood building. Jake Jones and Cheshire Webb, both in Avis & Young's Raleigh office, represented FMI in the Dylan lease agreement. Former Fuquay Varina Golf Course to house almost 500 homes. An old golf course in southern Wake County will soon have 490 homes built across its gently rolling greens, courtesy of a real estate deal linked to the former land holdings of a Charlotte congressman. Pulte Group paid $5.37 million for the Hidden Valley Golf Course in Fuquay Varina and neighboring parcels, property that amounts to 213 acres. The land sits along Highway 55 south of town and was annexed into the municipality earlier this year. The properties were sold in the midst of a larger effort to unload the land holdings of a company once managed by former U.S. Representative Robert Pittenger. Pittenger Land Investments paid $2.29 million for the land in 2012 and 2013. 3 years later, after news of an FBI investigation into the company and complaints from investors, Pittenger relinquished management of the company's holdings to another firm, South Street Partners. Federal authorities had been looking into whether Pittenger had improperly transferred the company's money to his campaign in 2012, but they closed the investigation earlier this year without filing any charges, and Pittenger has denied any wrongdoing. The property sold to the Pulte Group was part of the land under the control of South Street Partners. Pulte officials say they made the move because of the expanding interest they see in the Fuquay Varina area. There's a tremendous amount of growth in southwestern Wake County, says David Carrier, president of Pulte's Raleigh division. We love the location. We love the accessibility. The new community will consist of homes between 1,700 and 2,900 square feet. The cost of the homes still needs to be hashed out, but Carrier projects that Base prices will begin in the low to mid $200,000 range. Building more affordable homes was an intentional move by the company. It fills what the company sees as a gap in the Triangle housing market. There definitely is some erosion in that sub $300,000 market, so we're trying to cater to that price point, Carrier says. Young families and people ages 55 and older will be ideal candidates for the homes, he says, which include two-story and ranch-style houses. Townhome density coming to downtown Durham lots. A quartet of local developers has bought nearly 3 acres of underdeveloped property in downtown Durham and is planning to wipe the slate clean with 62 new townhomes. Frank Thompson, Lee Norris, Mac Paul, and Jim Schaffsma paid $3.3 million for the lots near the American Tobacco campus and already have approval from the city for the project. The group, operating as Four Line LLC, is the sponsored developer, but passive investors also are committed to the project, they say. Renderings of the development show 8 rows of townhomes facing each other with public space in between. We've never seen this kind of density in this market, says Norris, referring to townhomes in particular. The uneven terrain of the site meant they had to shrink the building footprint, but the real reason for the density is economics. Really what drives it is the price of the land, because we can't afford to put normal townhouse-type density there, Thompson says. Office building sales price jumps $21 million in 4 years. A Georgia real estate investment firm has paid $30.25 million for 3 Raleigh office buildings, purchasing them from another Georgia company that saw a substantial return on its initial investment. A subsidiary of B&G Investments LLC bought 3 parcels of the Arbor at Highwoods Office Park in North Raleigh, located at the corner of Highwoods Boulevard and Atlantic Avenue. The deal was the second around that location for the seller, a subsidiary of the Simpson Organization of Atlanta. Before selling the 3 properties to B&G, the Simpson Organization sold an adjacent office building to Capital Broadcasting Company a year ago for $11 million. In 2013, the Simpson Organization paid $21 million for all 4 properties. The buildings have a combined 256,510 square feet and were 94% occupied through the third quarter. And finally on this page, boutique hotel planned for downtown Raleigh. A new boutique hotel will soon begin to rise above downtown Raleigh. The developers of One Glenwood have reached a deal with the Thrash Group of Mississippi to build a 126-room hotel next to the new office building. The Thrash Group purchased the parcel from Heritage Properties for $2.25 million and will build and own the new hotel. The operator will be Schulte Hospitality Group of Kentucky. Walker Thrash, partner at the Thrash Group, says the intrinsic buzz surrounding the new One Glenwood development made the hotel an attractive project and should make it easier to fill beds. The hotel will be called Origin and is part of a series of boutique hotels being developed by the Thrash Group across the country, including one next to Red Rocks Amphitheater near Golden, Colorado. A wine and tapas restaurant and a juice bar are planned for the ground floor of the Raleigh Origin, Thrash says. The hotel will rise 7 stories on a 0.23-acre parcel on Morgan Street between Boylan Avenue and West Street. The $86 million One Glenwood building will total 227,500 square feet and stand 10 stories tall. And now we turn to A Better World, written by Todd Cohen, who is also the publisher of Philanthropy North Carolina. His column headline, Center Comforts Sexual Assault Victims. 1 in 5 women in the U.S. have been sexually assaulted or raped. Yet despite educational programs at their schools to promote safety and reduce sexual abuse, nearly 80% of students in all 3 high schools in the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools say they do not know whether someone either in their school or the school district is responsible for handling complaints of sexual harassment or assault, according to research by the Orange County Rape Crisis Center in partnership with the School of Public Policy at UNC Chapel Hill. We know that sexual violence unfortunately happens quite frequently, yet most people don't report sexual assault because of its stigma and the fear of victim blaming, says Allison Cullen, executive director of the Rape Crisis Center. But public awareness of the problem is growing, Cullen says, in the face of a widening rash of news reports of sexual assault accusations leveled against political and business leaders and other celebrities. In the past 7 years, the Rape Crisis Center has seen a near doubling of clients, she says. The Rape Crisis Center, formed in 1974, hosts a 24-hour helpline, support groups, workshops, and therapy referrals. It operates with an annual budget of $950,000, a staff of 12 full-time and 4 part-time employees, and 60 to 75 volunteers. In the fiscal year ended June 30, the center served 676 clients, mainly through its helpline and follow-up support, and served 75 clients through 22 support groups and workshops. It also reached nearly 17,000 individuals with more than 1,000 safety education and violence prevention programs. It offers free programs in elementary, middle, and high schools in Orange County. And for a small fee, it offers programs in 2 elementary schools in the Durham Public Schools and in a handful of public schools in the Triangle. It has traditional support group programs, which typically are organized around specific types of experience of clients, such as survivors of sexual assault or adult survivors of child abuse. And in recent years, the Rape Crisis Center has begun offering support groups around an activity, such as running, dance, yoga, or arts and crafts. With multi-year grants of $200,000 each from the Governor's Crime Commission and the William R. Keenan Jr. Charitable Trust, the Rape Crisis Center is launching an in-house therapy program with 2 therapists, one of them bilingual. The center has raised about $500,000 to expand its programs in the silent phase of a campaign that began early this year and aims to raise another $1 million to buy a larger office adjacent to its current lease space. We need a larger space to accommodate more clients and a growing staff, Cullen says. Of course, the ultimate goal is to stop sexual violence. We aim to support and empower survivors in their own healing process, and we also want to provide our community with knowledge and skills around preventing and responding to violence. And in the nonprofit news, Triangle Family Services gets gift. Triangle Family Services, an 80-year-old nonprofit, has received a $100,000 matching grant from the Leon Levine Foundation. The foundation will match contributions from new and lapsed donors who are contributing funds to Triangle Family Services' Band Together fundraising efforts. The foundation started by Family Dollar. Founder Leon Levine and his wife Sandra will match qualifying donations up to $100,000 through the main Band Together event in 2018. PGA player Grayson Murray is looking to help the First Tee of the Triangle, a nonprofit that focuses on youth development. For the rest of the year, Murray will match donations to the Good Golfers, Better People annual campaign for up to $10,000. The fund provides scholarships for those who otherwise would not be able to participate. Murray, a Raleigh native, said he was thankful for those who supported him when he was a junior golfer. Raleigh's Art Space had a successful gala November 18 with around 400 people attending its annual fundraiser. The event netted around $163,000. Resolute Building recently gave a check for $9,000, more than double the expected amount, to Read and Feed at Resolute's Chapel Hill office. Read and Feed is a literacy program that provides food and support to low-income families looking to help their children strengthen their reading skills. The Downtown Durham YMCA is now a Google Fiber Community Connection. Google Fiber provides free internet to community organizations such as the YMCA. The partnership with Google Fiber will increase the Y's ability to strengthen its programming and offerings for the Durham community. And now turning to news from around the state, we have an article written by Lauren K. Onasorge, Corning bringing 428 jobs to North Carolina. North Carolina just beat South Carolina for a 428-job Corning manufacturing expansion teased by President Donald Trump in July. The New York-based company, which manufactures glass, ceramics, and other materials, announced December 13th that it will bring 317 and 111 manufacturing jobs, respectively, to Durham and Edgecombe counties. The company plans to invest $275 million in the two sites, $189 million in Durham and $86 million in Edgecombe. According to the North Carolina Department of Commerce, the projects went by separate code names, Project Agate in Edgecombe and Project Excalibur in Durham. The jobs will provide future support for Valor Glass, a glass product for the pharmaceutical industry. Commerce documents show both projects came down to North Carolina and South Carolina. Trump had said Corning was seeking sites in the Southeast to make a more resilient kind of glass for injectable drug vials, though he had teased a larger $4 billion project. At the time, economic developers speculated North Carolina would be a contender because Corning has a wide footprint in the state. In February, the company's fiber manufacturing subsidiary, Corning Optical Communications, announced it would be adding more than 400 jobs to operations in Catawba and Cabarrus counties. In 2016, Corning said it would be launching a 205-job expansion in Catawba and Forsyth counties. And in 2015, Corning Optical Communications announced the subsidiary would be creating 150 jobs in Mecklenburg County as part of a new corporate headquarters. The average wage at the proposed facility in Durham County will be $65,999 and $33,771 in Edgecombe County, according to an announcement from the state, which approved Corning for performance-based reimbursement incentives up to $3.2 million in Durham County and $1.2 million in Edgecombe County. And finally, the Business Survey Pulse. The question, will the GOP's tax reform plan help your business? 136 responses. 35% no, my business will be left out of the party. 31% yes, this plan will boost my business. 27% it's too early to tell. And 8% did not think the plan would go through. And we're going to stop there as we've run out of time for today's episode of the Triangle Business Journal. I hope you enjoyed it. And be sure to listen next time. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.